Would you open God's word with me to Matthew chapter 6? We'll also be looking at Acts chapter 4. Our text tonight is Matthew chapter 6. Reading God's word, beginning with verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The request, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we refer to as the third request, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. This is the conclusion of the first half of the Lord's Prayer. The first half of the Lord's Prayer is all focused upward upon God. It's focused on His glory, His name, His kingdom, His will. The second half of the Lord's Prayer now will focus upon ourselves and our needs for forgiveness and daily bread. But this is now the conclusion of the first half of the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you're comparing the Lord's Prayer in Matthew as it is recorded in Luke, you'll notice that in the Gospel of Luke, this phrase is not there. It's recorded, certainly, it's inclusive under your name be known through all the earth. It's included under your kingdom come. But in the record under Matthew, it is recorded as a separate request, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a valid request because it's worth reflecting upon as its own request. And you notice in the text, the Lord gives us two things. He gives us the pattern, as in heaven, and then he gives us the request on earth. So let's look at both parts. First of all, the pattern, as in heaven, and we'll unpack that, and then we'll look at what is this petition on earth as it is in heaven. The pattern then, first of all, as it is in heaven, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the pattern. So what does it mean, as in heaven? As you reflect on as in heaven, we think of at least three subjects. You think of all the inanimate objects of heaven, the stars, the universe. You think of, secondly, the angels, and you also think of believers who are already in heaven. At least these three subjects are referred to as in heaven. How do the inanimate objects of the universe obey their creator? The scripture tells us they do. The scripture tells us that God has created the universe and they obey him. They obey his commands. Psalm 104, verse 19, he made the moon for seasons. The sun knows its place of its setting. Psalm 148, verses 3 and 8, praise him, sun, moon, praise him, all you stars of light, fire and hail, snow, vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Often the heavens are called to witness as a judgment upon God's people who are disobedient. As a contrast, the heavens, the stars, obey. And what a contrast. Here's the height of God's creation, man and woman not obeying. And that contrast is in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. You, by contrast, the stars of heavens do know. You do obey me. Isaiah 48:13. Surely my hand founded the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call them, they stand together. Assemble all of you and listen. The rebuke to man and woman, the highest of all God's creation, is how the inanimate objects, the stars of the universe, obey their creator's commands. Isaiah 40, verse 26 says that God calls them to fall into line. It's a military term. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name, and they all line up. Not one is missing. Inanimate objects of heaven obey his commands. And also the angels of heaven submit to their Maker, and they obey. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure, the angels of heaven. And they do it quickly. They do it perfectly. They do it immediately. There's a metaphor used in Ezekiel 1:14 that they run to obey their God like the flash of lightning. Kids, wouldn't your parents be pleased if they called you to obey and you obeyed like lightning? So quick, so immediate, so perfect. The angels in heaven obey their God like lightning at his word. The inanimate objects, the stars of the universe, line up when he calls them to obey him. The angels obey. All the third category is all the glorified believers who are already there submit to their God with perfect obedience. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. They are now in heaven, perfectly obeying their God and his commands to them. So when the Lord's Prayer is talking about as in heaven, we're to think, what's in heaven that would be obeying him? And it's at least these three things, all the inanimate objects, the stars, the angels, the believers. That's the pattern. There's a second part of the pattern, not only the phrase as in heaven, but the second part of the phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will being done in heaven as the pattern? What is it? What are we praying for God's will in heaven? The Bible refers to God's will in these two ways. Either it refers to God's secret plan, his decree, his decretive will, we call that, or it refers to God's will as his revealed will, his revealed word, his commands. And it can either mean plan or commands. And what is it talking about in the Lord's Prayer? What is thy will in heaven referring to? The Bible does refer to God's will as his secret plan, his decretive will. If you keep your finger here and just turn to Acts 4 as one place that speaks about God having a secret will, a decretive will. Acts 4, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Acts 4:27. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand, and here it is, and your plan had predestined to take place. God has a master plan that was set before eternity of everything that's to happen in history. It's his secret plan, his secret will, all comprehensive plan. God does not think in succession of events or succession of time. There's nothing that's contingent that he yet has to happen for his plan to take place. It's all been ordained. It's all been decreed, God's secret decretive will. Confession says in chapter 3, God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. So the Bible, when it speaks often of God's will, it's referring to this, his secret plan, his comprehensive plan for all things. We've been chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, his decree. Everything that's been planned. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to the man who betrays him. Luke 22, verse 22. By your will they were created and have their being. All that happens in creation and providence is according to God's secret will. A universe without decree would be as irrational and appalling as would be an express train driving on in the darkness without a headlight or engineer, and with no certainty that the next moment it might not plunge into the abyss, A.J. Gordon. When the Bible speaks of God's will, it's often referring to God's secret will, his plan of all things. Is that what we are praying for in the Lord's Prayer? No, it's not what we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer for several reasons. God's decree is always accomplished. We're not told to pray for God's secret decree, his secret will. But also, it's not being taught here in the Lord's Prayer because it would be irrational to think that God's secret plan could be done in heaven, but could not be done on earth. That's not even possible. Even though Satan and evil men would violently try to oppose God, the Bible says nothing is ever going to thwart God's plan. Even the wrath of man only plays to God's purposes. Isaiah 46:10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There's no decree, secret plan of God that will ever be thwarted by the sin of man. God is absolutely sovereign over all his creation and over all things. How comfortable it is to think that you have a God that can do what he pleases. Nothing so difficult but he can effect. Nothing so strong but that he can overrule. You need not dread men, since you have one to restrain them, nor fear devils, since you have one to chain them. Our evils can never be so great to oppress us as his power is as great to deliver us. Stephen Charnock, because you have a God who has ordained and ruled all things. So if the Lord's Prayer is not praying that we're praying that God unfold his secret will, what are we praying for? How is God's will being done in heaven? It's God's moral will. It's God's revealed will. It's God's commands. Keep your finger here and just turn over a page to Matthew 7. Here is another place. Here's a place in Scripture where we have the other sense of God's will, his revealed will, his word, as being referred to as God's will. Matthew 7, starting with verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does, here it is, the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. God's will is what? God's commands. Jesus says it's equivalent to hearing my words and obeying them. That's my will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will for you, his revealed will, his commands. And it's in that sense that heaven is obeying all of God's commands, that the angels obey his word, his commands. They fly instantly like lightning to obey him. That's the pattern. As all of the universe obeys God's commands, as the angels in heaven, as the believers in heaven obey all of God's commands and words, that pattern now is what we are praying, that that also be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we are to pray on that pattern, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does that mean? Some who have tried to find God's secret will in the Lord's Prayer would say, well, here's a verse then that we are called to acquiesce. We're called to be content under God's secret plan. And that certainly is an application of Scripture. It certainly is an application of submitting to God's secret will. But the primary sense of the Lord's Prayer is not focused on God's secret will. It's focusing on his revealed will, his word, his commands. And so what are we praying for? That be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, isn't it a prayer then that has an evangelistic sense? We're praying that all peoples of the world come to know God and know him truly and obey him and obey his word. It's very much an evangelistic application, a missionary application. Thy will be done on earth Isn't it also a corporate sense? We're praying that the whole church be brought more and more to know God's will and to obey his word and to submit to him. Isn't there also the eschatological sense, that future sense? When we pray that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, aren't we also praying then for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness? Isn't that ultimately how this prayer is going to be answered? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? But as we pray this prayer, Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the primary way in which we are praying that is looking at our own hearts as an individual sense, that all of us have to pray that we would obey him, that we would obey his word in several different ways. When we pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, of myself, I'm praying that I would obey him with the same understanding as in heaven. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. There's a sense of hypocrisy, isn't there, if we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, but not at the same time, also in the Scriptures, reading them, wanting to know what his will is. It's hypocrisy to say, may I be obedient to your word, and yet we're not also wanting to know what his word is. So you can't really pray in sincere conscience, thy will be done, if you're not also in the Scriptures, meditating on them, getting to know what his will is, and therefore praying, your will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven. And so we're praying that we would obey with the same understanding as in heaven. Secondly, we're praying with the same wholeheartedness as in heaven. That God, that you would work in me more and more that willingness, that full heart to obey you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, and thou shalt therefore keep them to do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 26:16. It's hypocrisy, again, isn't it, to pray the Lord's Prayer if a person isn't even a believer, if they've never professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and an allegiance to him as Savior and Lord, and here's my life, and I will follow you, and I will obey you. How can you pray the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You haven't even professed faith in him. And so every time the Lord's Prayer is recited in public worship, it's an evangelistic call. Can you say, yes, I've given my life to Christ, and I want him to be my Savior, and I trust him for being my Savior, and here's my life, and he's my Lord, and I will obey him. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven in me. It's also then, it really reveals hypocrisy in our own hearts, doesn't it? If we just go through the mouth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we know there's issues in our own heart that we've not dealt with in the issues of lordship of Christ. He says, all areas are to come under my authority. All areas of life are to come under my lordship. Every area of life is to be filtered through Scripture. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're holding back and saying, I don't want Christ to deal with these areas of my life, I'm not willing to submit to him as the Lord of all areas of my life, then you can't pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth, is therefore a call to repentance. It's a call to look at my own heart and say, where am I not submitting to the Lord? It's Lord in all areas of life. And if we haven't done that, if we haven't submitted to him as the Lord, if we haven't submitted to him in all areas of obedience, it really is quite hypocritical then to keep praying the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Now I would like you to give me my daily bread. On what basis? We can't approach God and ask him to meet our needs until we first have dealt with this issue. Are you willing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey him? And you're willing to say, yes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in me, before I ever get around to asking for daily bread and all my daily needs. When we pray this prayer, thy will be done, we're praying it from my own heart individually, that we would each be praying that we would have the same understanding as in heaven. We would be praying as the same wholehearted zeal as in heaven. We'd be praying that we would obey with the same constancy as heaven, never ceasing, day and night, as the angels in heaven, Revelation 7:15, the angels of the little ones always behold God's face, Matthew 18:10, never weary of his service, never weary of obeying his commands. Blessed are they who constantly do what is right, Psalm 106, verse 3. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And so when we pray this prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying also that God, don't let me let up. Don't let me get stale. Don't let me get weary. Keep me faithful, obeying you and excelling and growing and pressing ahead as it is in heaven. And fourthly, we're praying that we would obey on earth as it is in heaven in our own hearts with the same joy, with the same willingness as in heaven. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit, Psalm 51:12. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, 1 John 5:3. And I shall delight in thy commands, Psalm 119:47, which I love. Oh, how I love thy law, verse 97. For I joyfully concur with the law of God and the inner man, Romans 7:22. Oh, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart, Psalm 40, verse 8. Your words are my joy and my heart's delight, Jeremiah 15:16. You take this phrase of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven, and you begin to reflect and meditate on what that means. That God give us a greater understanding into what his will is, that he work in us a wholehearted obedience, surrendering to his lordship in all areas of life, every issue, that constancy, that we not be weary, that we do it with our whole heart and whole joy and whole love of obeying him. If you get to that point of beginning to reflect on just what this little phrase means, it'll crush us. We'll come to realize, how can I pray the Lord's Prayer? I look at my own sin, I look at my own struggles. How can I honestly, with a conscience, pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because it's also a prayer to teach us, pray for the grace to obey God's revealed will. We come to this place of realizing, what does it mean to pray, thy will be done on earth? And we realize we can't be just flip with these words. We're dealing with obedience. We're dealing with the lordship of Christ in every area of life. And that brings us to the place of realizing, boy, I need grace. I need God's grace to obey the Lord's Prayer. And then we realize we do have somebody in heaven who has obeyed all of God's laws, who has submitted to God's law and who has faithfully obeyed all of them in his humanity, and he has suffered trials and temptations in his temptations and yet has obeyed fully, and he has laid down his life to obey God's will. And now his perfect obedience is not only credited to your account, but he is also your faithful high priest who knows what it means to be under temptation so that you can come to him and ask for grace to help in time of need. To obey the Lord's Prayer. He is in heaven. He is completely fulfilled and completely obeyed God's will. And now he is your merciful high priest who tells you to come to him and ask for grace to even obey the prayer that he taught us to pray. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me, Jeremiah 32:40. And here's why the benediction to the Lord's Prayer then is such a promise for all of these requests. Thine is the kingdom and the power. It's his grace, it's his power to even be able to pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, make me willing Make me even willing to pray the Lord's Prayer with any level of meaning and understanding that I'm praying and really want to pray, your will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so any area that you continually struggle with, any area of sin that you are aware of, you confess that to the Lord. You pray, yes, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you finish with the benediction as a promise and you lay hold of it. And you pray it as well. Yes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that this prayer is a beautiful prayer. We love to recite the Lord's Prayer, but we also confess that we can say it so quickly and not realize what we are praying. We would pray, Father, that tonight each one of us assembled is able to pray this prayer. That each of us has come to Christ as Savior and Lord and is wanting his will to be done in our lives. We pray this prayer in evangelistic sense and for missions. Oh, that the knowledge of the Lord might cover the world as the waters cover the sea in our generation. We pray this for the corporate wide church of Christ. That the bride of Christ might be more and more without spot or wrinkle or any unclean thing. And we pray it for our own hearts. Oh God, give us grace to desire to obey you with all of our heart and all of our soul and with all of our mind. That we can pray only by your grace, only by your power, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Shall we stand for the Lord's benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.